welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The Great Awakening, and myself, Suzanne Maresca. Today, our topic is the false grids that may have built up in our lives, keeping us tethered to the 3D illusion. Doubt and fear in particular will be discussed, as those seem to be the heavy hitters, keeping us from stepping more fully into our divine shoes. To help us understand how best to release any negative belief structures we may carry in our bones, our beloved brother Yeshua will be joining us. Feel free to join us with your questions and comments by calling 323-784-9697 and press 1 so I know you'd like to come on the air with us. We'll continue taking callers by area code, so when we're ready to start doing that, I'll say your area code and bring you on the air. I'm very happy to welcome you back to the show, Linda. Good morning.
Good morning. And it's great to be back again.
Again.
Again. Yeah. You know, this has been a learning process for me. And as I was saying to you just before we went on the air, Susie, is that I'm learning that I'm supposed to have more than two speeds in my life, which is, you know, stop and go. And usually my go is full steam ahead. So I'm learning to pace myself, and I think that's a lesson that probably a lot of us struggle with, you know. So here I am. I'm back. I'm present. And I'm really excited to talk about this issue of false grids. You know, the false grids are a big piece of the work that we do with the new you. But the false grids have also been something that the council has been talking about, for years.
Oh, yeah.
And when we talk about false grids, you know, people use these a variety of terms. And I'm sure you have some, Dad, Susie. But we think about false grids, issues, obstacles, debris, false paradigms, illusions, vasanas.
Wounding.
All of these refer to what we're dealing with in terms of letting go of this illusion.
Well,
and
this is an important
illusion
discussion.
It's huge. And it's not just what we're talking about today. Of course, we're going to use the examples, as Yeshua has been talking to me about, of our own false grids. But even the word, you know, you think of a grid, it's got more structure than an illusion or an issue.
Truly.
And these are grids that humanity, and particularly what we call the old third dimension, these are belief systems that got built up and have been the grid upon which we've been operating, oh my gosh, for thousands of years, probably much longer, because I think back to Atlantis and, you know, it was present then as well. So, excuse me. And these issues, these false grids, tend to come in groupings. And what we are doing as light workers is we are breaking through these illusions and we're saying within ourselves, I'm letting go, I'm surrendering, I'm clearing, I'm illuminating, and I'm not going to play that game anymore.
Right.
And at the same time, when we're doing that, we're also doing it for the collective. And we're refusing. Yeah, that's a strong word. Not a word I use a lot. But we're refusing to play the game with those who are still enmeshed, engaged in the old third, who really want to hold on to those false grids and to stabilize them so that we don't have to complete the shift. And that's just, we're saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to play that game anymore.
Yeah, no way. And paying attention to the sleepers is really not in our best interest. You know, we could certainly, I mean, the work we do helps everybody, okay? So even, you know, even those that are, you know, choosing to stay behind and not move forward and all that sort of thing, it doesn't, I don't think it really would affect us. I think that we affect them, but they don't affect us. Would that be true?
I think that we can only be affected by those energies if we choose to be affected by those energies. And so it's not a matter of them having the power anymore. You know,
right.
As I was saying, these grids tend to come in groups, and well, the hot buttons right now tend to be fear and doubt. There are whole groups of them. So, for example, you know, there's what I call the L group, which is lack, limitation, loss, isolation, loneliness, lack of self-worth, self-love, self-doubt.
Yeah.
All of those have to do with lack.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's the D group, you know, death, destruction, disease, despair, disbelief, and doubt, disgust, depression.
Oh, wow.
Notice how they all mostly start with duh. So we're saying to not only ourselves, as we're emerging, as we're fully anchored in the fifth, where that grid doesn't exist elsewhere. It doesn't even exist in what we call the clean third.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is just sending back the energy of elimination into the old third, and at the same time cleaning it up within ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's not a one-shot deal.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things, because it is something that is in our subconscious, in our unconscious, in our collective memories, in our collective belief systems. It has a lot of layers.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We have to be gentle with ourselves as well, and patient.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. And we need to, you know, in order to move forward, we need to make room for the new energies and our integrated, expanded selves. So we really have to be rid of all the residual energies that might still be with us from past experiences. And they could be from this lifetime and past lifetimes. Let me ask you something, though. Do you feel like at this point we are mostly working on the absolutely deepest and very potentially from past incarnations rather than this lifetime now?
I think that we are on bedrock. We are really at bedrock. But one of the things that I'm observing, like you were saying earlier, Susie, is that right now everything we're doing, it seems, well, it doesn't seem, I think you're absolutely correct, is that this time is really a walk of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And in that trust, what we're doing is really working on that bedrock. But whether it's, you know, deep, almost ancestral collective memories or grids, or it's our own individual stuff, what happens is situations are arising that trigger it.
Mm.
So it's like sometimes when you're on a lake, and I'm thinking of the lakes, you know, that I grew up on in northern Quebec or north of Montreal in the Laurentians, is that a storm comes up, and the water, because they aren't big lakes, looks really, really choppy.
Uh-huh.
But at the bottom, if you dove in, you know, there's nothing happening on the bottom. It's not like the ocean where it's all churned up because there's a tsunami or a hurricane. It's just, it's surface stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it is all on the surface. So there are situations that are either in a public way or an individual way that are coming up and really triggering these grids. And it's the hardest work. What I have found as we have been working on the new you is that there have been two huge challenges. The first biggest challenge has been accepting ourselves as interdimensional, multidimensional, transdimensional beings. And the second one, which is really getting into the trenches, is this clearing of false grids. It's hard work. So we don't want to pretend, oh, yeah, I did my clearing. Well, and I have one friend, Joe, who is always saying, like, when are we going to be finished with the clearing? And I think this is it. I think this is the end of the clearing.
Well,
that's
that would
a
be
long
wonderful.
Answer to your question.
Well, yeah. I feel like it comes in stages. You know, it's not only layers, but first we have to realize that a behavior that we have is not supporting our life and our heart, and then we have to see, you know, track back to where it came from. You know, what was the event or series of events that made us start to believe that and direct our behavior. And admitting what we went through and acknowledging how awful it was is harder than we would think, you know, and we tend to minimize our experiences, especially when we hear of someone else's that we might think of as worse than ours. And then we say, oh, it wasn't so bad, and it remains there, and over time can become so familiar to us that it actually feels normal, and we start to identify with those hurt parts of ourselves, and then it becomes scary to let them go, you know, but that's the lie, that's the false grid part of it.
That's the false grid, and that's the part how it's become so firmly entrenched. You know, if we look at the false grid of control or greed, which is part of control, you know, I think as angels who came to Earth to play, who assumed a physical form, we did not carry greed or the desire to control either each other or the situations or the planet. But that aberration has become so entrenched, and it's subtle, it's insidious, because it's, you know, we change it into a desirable aspect. So, for example, we're supposed to be ambitious. We're supposed to want to get ahead.
Right.
It's often what we teach our kids.
Right.
And you know, it's like, get tough. The, you know, the world's a harsh place, and you gotta grow a set. You've got to have an element of ruthlessness. And none of this is true.
Yeah.
Not one speck of it.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It's become so entrenched in our cultures that we accept it as true, that it's a good thing to be greedy. We say, oh, don't be greedy, and that means don't take three pieces of cake. But there's something much more deep and fundamental that we really need to get rid of.
Yeah, I agree. And I also, I know people are going to be mad at me about this, but the whole idea of competitive sports where we like really physically hurt one another in order to, you know, get the game done and all that sort of thing, that'd make me crazy. Or boxing. Oh, my gosh. Why would we ever do such a thing?
Yeah, take one for the team.
Oh, I don't get that. But, you know, I know that there's lots of people that still are very, very caught up in that. But you know what? That there's a lot of violence that happens at games like that because fans get really, really invested in their team and against the other side and all that sort of thing. We promote that kind of thing, and it's just not, you know, it's just not really who we are at the core. So I agree with you, and I'm not sure if, you know, if all of humanity fits into that and we just have to remember it, but... you know, I'm with you, sister. I don't really.
And when you're talking about that level of competition, that's really part of the C grid, because that's about control.
Yeah.
It's about trying to control each other, your team, the outcome. It doesn't have anything to do with what we would think of as healthy competition. You know, it can be fun. I mean, you know, board games, hopscotch, skipping, running, mm-hmm. all those things can be very healthy. But when your sense of self and your place and your value within the community depends on quote-unquote winning, then it's become an obsession, and it's become something that's not genuine, and it's not authentic, and it's not part of love. I mean, what part, and I'm going to use the example of hockey because I grew up watching hockey every Saturday night with my family, and hockey has evolved as a very violent sport. It didn't used to be, but I was never lucky enough to have kids. But if I did have kids, I would not want them playing these kind of sports because it's bringing out a belief system that says it's okay to injure and to be injured. And it's not.
No, it's not. It's not. That's true. Well, you could borrow my kid anytime you want.
Well, I intend to. You know, I may not be a mom, but I'm a great auntie.
You really are. You are, and we love you so much. You know, I think, like we said before, I think the key is in trusting the process and knowing without a doubt that we'll emerge victorious on the other side, and no matter what, we're loved and seen and appreciated, probably just for even being here right now, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I bet you have a great meditation.
So with that, shall we move into a meditation?
Yes. Yes, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. And then we can come back to our soapbox.
Okay. Thanks, honey.
All right. Let's begin by taking a nice deep breath of magenta. Magenta is the ray of Jesus Sananda, of our beloved master of love, of compassion, and fortitude. So feel yourself sink into the chair or into your bed or into your car seat, wherever you are, and relax. Give yourself a great big hug. And then give yourself a great big hug from Susie and I. And then give yourself another hug from Yeshua. And feel how much you are treasured. We're one family, one circle, and we are on this journey of ascension and becoming together. So breathe in through your nose, holding it for a second in this still point, and out through your mouth. Breathe in that color of maroon, of the fall chrysanthemums, of that perfect balance of the reddish blue. Breathe in the color, the ray of compassion. And feel it expanding and relaxing your body. Bring down your shoulders. Let your jaw go slack. And simply allow yourself to be. Feel yourself filled with that magenta, the color of a good red wine. The color of your third eye. and go deeper. And as if this color, this ray, is liquid, allow it to fill you, not only your beautiful heart, but your lungs, your torso, your tummy, your reproductive area, down into your legs, your knees, your ankles, your shins, the soles of your feet. And feel that connection with Gaia, with our beloved Mother Earth. Now come back up to your heart and feel that magenta go upwards as well into your high heart, your throat, your head, your cavity, your pituitary, your pineal, your hypothalamus, into, seeping into all the crevices of your brain, those spheres. Our brains are expanding and holding more light, more love, and more information, new understanding than ever before. Open your crown, that soft spot on the baby's head, and allow this magenta to just flow out of you as if you're this beautiful water fountain. It's covering your hair and your skin, your shoulders, your body, and flowing down to earth. And giving Earth not only the presence of compassion, of your compassion, and your Christ consciousness, and as you're doing this, simply say to yourself that you allow all the false grids, all the issues, all those feelings of lack and loss and disillusionment, despair, fear, let it all go and let it flow down to Gaia as she takes this rich magenta ray and uses it as light and fertilizer to restore the earth, to feed the plants and the trees. Now's the time. Greetings, I am Yeshua. I am Jesus Sananda. And I am Yeshi.
Welcome, Yeshi.
Brother and friend, welcome. Welcome to each of you, my beloved family. Those of you that I have traveled with long ago in Galilee, those of you that I have traveled with in the far reaches of the universe, all of you that I travel with at this moment in this journey of awakening, becoming, and wonder. One of the primary tools of letting go of the false grids is the practice of compassion. And as you know, compassion places you in the position of the observer, in the position of the watcher, rather than the full participant. Because you can look and you can know deeply and fully what it is that you are letting go of and what humanity has suffered through and what they have clung to as if it was the jewels of heaven. And you can observe and simply say, now it is time, let go. Surrender, allow, accept. This is no longer required. And in this way, you gently simply allow the removal of what no longer serves you. Yes, there is the exercise that we have given with Archangel Michael. We will use that for another time, because that is a quick and powerful source. But what I wish to evoke within you this day and to speak to you about is doubt and fear. Because this is primary in what humanity is going through at the moment. Grids, these elements of doubt and fear, they are nothing new. And they are nothing new in your life. But I bring them to the forefront for discussion yet again, because it is vitally important, critically important at this juncture, at this turning and tipping point, that they be eliminated completely once and for all. And for this, during our time together this day, I have also requested Sanat Kumara, be with us, and to also invoke the law, the universal law of elimination. Rarely is this law used, and it is not used ever in a foolhardy way. But fear and doubt, they are the cancer of the human race. And they bar you from seeing the magnificence of your being. Fear. And yes, I know what fear is. Was I fearful of those who opposed me? The answer is no. It was not the Roman soldiers or centurions. It's not the Pharisees. It was not even those within my community who would naysay me that I was fearful of. But there were times, my friends, when I knew fear, when I was afraid that I would not complete my mission, yes, even as Son of God, that I would not complete my mission in the fullness of my capacity. And very human fear, not of what people would think of me, not what they would say, but fear for my family, for my wife, for my children. My beloved son died when he was very young. And as we sat by his bedside, I was fearful that he would pass. I was fearful that I would not know how to go on in mission and purpose without that bright smile, that light of my life, of my heart. I knew of the greater plan that he returned to the Mother Father. But I was fearful. And I admit to you, it was not fear for him, but fear for me. Fear for my beloved Mary. Now, what did that fear accomplish? Nothing. When you are in fear, and it is not the auto response of fight or flight, it simply freezes your energy field. Long ago, we have said to you, the acronym for fear, false expectations about reality. And there are so many false expectations about reality, particularly the old third. And it is not even real. Fear has nothing to do with what is truth. And when you are in fear, what happens is your entire energy field freezes. So it is as if you have been flash frozen and are ready for the supermarket, ready for somebody else's consumption, and you are absolutely not helpful or useful in your own life, in your own process, in your own journey, and you are not useful to anyone else either. In fact, fear is a contagion. And so when you fall into fear, not only are you frozen, it spreads to those you love. And because you are frozen, there is nothing you can do about it. It is a very, very dangerous element to carry. And you say, but Lord, I am not fearful. And I suggest to you that one of the greatest obstacles to humanity assuming and fully anchoring in the fifth is this issue of fear and doubt. And that is why I am speaking so strongly, and some might even say stridently, this day. What is it you are afraid of? What is it that you are afraid to let go of? What is it? What is the fear that haunts you? Well, you know the answer. And it is the fear of the unknown. It is the what if. It is the but. It is staying in what you believe is the present, when in fact your current reality and the current reality of Gaia is elsewhere. Now, I give you an example. You have all known or had situations where you have observed someone living in an illusion. There is a very derogatory expression of someone living in a fool's paradise. What does that mean? It means that they have simply chosen to live in a reality where they do not wish to look at what is going on around them. and everybody on the planet at one point or another, whether it is in this life or 1,000 lifetimes, has done this. I have done it. And there are times when this form of illusion is useful. It allows you to carry on in very difficult situations. But it cannot be a permanent state of affairs. Sooner or later, you are required to look at what truly lies in front of you. And very often, because you have been ignoring what is the truth, it is even more painful to embrace. But this is not about criticism. This is simply about us, you and I, brother and sister, brother and brother, speaking about fear. So do not fall into that frozen state. Now, before I go any further, I also wish to speak to you about doubt. Because doubt is even more destructive than fear. Fear freezes you. As I say, it is like being flash frozen. But doubt, my beloved friends, gnaws at you. It is cruel. And it does not really have a heart. It is based in disbelief and lack of faith and hope in your sweet self. Now, you have come in many societies to think that doubt is a sterling quality, that it helps you with discernment. And what I suggest to you this day is it does not. Discernment is the ability with your heart consciousness in tandem with your mental and emotional bodies, your radar, to discern what is truth, what is love, what is the correct pathway, and how to proceed in ways that are kind and gentle and loving. Doubt is dismissive. It does not build. It simply cancels and dismisses. And it is very dangerous. The most dangerous element of doubt is doubt in your sweet self, doubt in your power, doubt in your ability to discern, doubt in the wonder of love or whether you are loved. Doubt gnaws at you like a rat with a rope. And it will never serve you. And it is more dangerous than fear because it eats away at your very soul. These are strong words that I share with you this day. But these are words and love that I have for you, and that I honor you, that you are strong enough and you have been diligent enough and you have practiced prudence enough to hear. So let us let go. Let us, for once and for all of humanity, eliminate these elements of doubt and fear. let them no longer have a place in the existence of humanity. And with this, do you know what can be accomplished? War would come to an end. Because doubt and fear, they are the foundation of war and conflict. Because people doubt that if they do not behave aggressively or in certain ways, that they will win a place in heaven or in the favor of the Mother, Father, One. You are already in the most favored position of the heart. It is not about winning it. And it is not about being fearful that you are not cherished. So let us be done with this. Long ago, there is the story of the parting of the Red Sea. This day, I am asking you right now to take my hand and to walk with me through the parting of the Magenta Sea. Let us hold back the detritus of the third and see that it has no power to drown you or sweep you away, to affect yourself or those you love and cherish. Take my hand and let us walk together through this parting of the waves. And let us lead the way that many will follow and know that they have safe passage. Now there are some of you, my beloved ones, who are pillars. No, these terms have not been lost or abolished. They are ancient. Now the pillars stay at the back of the line, as it were, until all is complete, making sure all have been gathered. If that is your position, I ask you to take it at the end of the parting of the Magenta Sea. And know you are safe. We will never let harm befall you, because you are the stalwart ones who are willing to wait . Both are necessary. The pathfinders, the repatterners, the gatekeepers, the pillars. And we are on this journey together right now. Not next week, next month, or tomorrow. But right now, come with me and let us walk through to the fifth, to this place where there is no fear, no doubt, no false grids. I ask you,
Thank you, Yessie, for all your wisdom here. I had some questions prepared, but something that you said has made me think of something that I just want to ask about, and that I have some wonderful, fantastic visions, and I'm just wondering if this is doubt, but I do look for confirmation of what I see from other people that I trust. Is that doubt or like a unity kind of?
It is the building of unity consciousness. It is the sharing. It is the sharing of information, of vision, of understanding. Because what you are doing is you are not only familiarizing yourself with the new grid of the fifth, sixth, seventh, you are also building a new grid within which humanity is operating, and that includes the sharing. So you are not saying, I doubt myself. You are saying, I am experiencing this. Can you help me? Can you share? Can you build? There is a big difference.
Good, good, good. I like that answer a lot. okay, so there's so much clearing that's taken place already that it can be hard when we experience a renewal of feelings we thought were done and gone. Like, we go along thinking we're pretty close to done with our personal work, and then one day an uncomfortable feeling or physical pain comes up, and it can be confusing. In cases like that, is it more like we're dismantling yet another aspect of our own false grid, or is it more likely that we're processing for the collective something that we've mastered already?
It is, and it can be both.
Okay.
So, for example, if you are experiencing any physical, let us use physical because it is something that many can relate to. If you are experiencing a physical malady, let's say all of a sudden, after you have had no back problems for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
Your back begins to hurt. You feel a lack of mobility. You feel excruciating pain, etc. This is coming up, and it may be that you have never experienced back pain in this life, but it is coming up because somewhere in your travels you have had this experience and this issue. And you are clearing it for yourself once and for all, and you are clearing it for humanity as well. So you are participating in the collective clearing. And what I suggest to you is not one person is strong enough to do it for everybody. So that is why you are seeing trends in issues. Shoulders,
yeah.
Back, lungs. Breathing, heart, and headaches. These are the big issues right now, particularly shoulders and arms, particularly cervical feelings in your back and lower lumbar.
Oh, that's so good to hear you say, because my left arm has been hurting me, and it never has before, and it's just getting worse. So I just, you know, and the healing work that I've done on it myself just doesn't really seem to help. And I've gotten what exactly what you said, that some of it's my stuff from past lives, and some of it is, you know, collective work. Okay.
Now let us talk, if we may, to use this example.
Okay.
Now, I could give you some very startling visuals about what has happened with your arm and shoulder in other lifetimes and situations.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not do so because I do not want you to go into those situations and relive them. They are painful. They were painful then. They are painful now. And even in those lifetimes, It had to do with suffering for your beliefs, your work, and for the collective.
Right.
So let us proceed, not going into the issue, but saying, let this be healed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And let it be healed for your sweet self and for many who have experienced much the same as you have in other times and realities.
Okay.
Now, you have mentioned about building of unity consciousness, which, of course, is one of my favorite topics. It is something I have worked on for thousands and thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
But when you ask others to help you with your healing, it is the same. It is also the vulnerability and saying, can you help me? Because it is not being codependent or reliant on others. That has passed.
Mm-hmm.
But you are practicing compassion the same way you would send and give healing freely and generously to others. You learn to accept it for yourself. That is community.
Right. Ah, that's delightful. Okay, so I've been wondering, in most of the depictions I've seen of you, in both images and in movies, you're quite somber in demeanor. It's certainly understandable, knowing what you did know about what would be taking place, but as a model for humanity and what we can achieve, and this might qualify as an odd question, but here goes. Did you not also experience great joy on Earth?
I am the least somber being you will ever encounter.
Great. I love that.
I laugh. I play. Now, I have mentioned a tragic, what I thought was tragic, experience with my son. But I am telling you, you would find me on the floor tickling, playing what we had was a rock and pebble game. No. One of my favorite things, if people think that I am walking around preaching, and I use that word preaching and sermonizing, I was walking with my friends, chatting, comparing notes, sharing insights, laughing at the hilarity of the human experience, crying at the sorrow that some people experience, sharing food, comparing notes, inquiring after families. No, I am not a somber being. Quite the contrary. I love to laugh, to sit, to share, and to be.
I'm so happy to hear you say that. I don't know if you've had more than this one very well-known incarnation on Earth, and for that one, I think you came in with full consciousness. You've spoken about this some, but I'm wondering, did you have to deal with false grids while in form here? You've spoken about a couple of fears, but I guess that's my question.
One of my primary jobs, you know, everyone is very familiar with my role as being the teacher of love. But underneath that, one of my primary jobs, and one of the primary jobs of the Magdalena in a different way, was the removal of false grids. You see, you cannot come to a place of loving yourself and loving your neighbor, or even turning the other cheek, if you do not have a sense that you are cherished and worthy and deserving. So there were many in my community. And you have to think about this. In many ways, my world was very small. Now, the impact was large, but when you think of the billions of people on planet at the moment, our world was very small. The biggest challenge was breaking through the false grids that had emerged and were emerging with great strength, which is the timing issue of when I came. So the issues of lack, of limitation, of doubt, which is lack of faith and trust, of fault and blame and anger, people were very angry with me. And when there was upheaval in the community, they would say, well, it is Yeshua's fault. He is always stirring the pot. Why can't he just stay quiet? Now, did some of that sometimes bleed through to me or bleed through to my family because they got tired of it? Yes. Mm. The answer is yes, but we were dealing with the same issue of false grids then as you are now, only they have had, in your sense, time to become even more solidified. Now, the good news is that they have become so solidified is that they are brittle.
Mm-hmm.
They will break very easily.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's wonderful. So I just have one question about sort of future for humanity, and then we can go to callers if that's all right. I'm wondering if we're going to need to concern ourselves about, you know, the integrity of bankers if we're all on the very edge of sweeping changes and we're all going to have what we need. Is that also going to come with, you know, like I said, concern about integrity of bankers or managing money or anything like that?
The issue of integrity is an important one. Ethical behavior, moral behavior, which is only another way of saying loving behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Is always the cornerstone. Now, the change is sweeping your planet. And we are not saying to you that every nook and cranny, every cobweb has to be cleansed before the shift takes place. But overall, the qualities, the blessings and virtues that you and Linda have taken a great deal of time talking about,
mm-hmm.
they need to be anchored so that the lack of integrity is not an issue. In fact, really, money, abundance is not the issue because mm-hmm. that is a given.
Right.
And when it is a given, when the greed is not present, when there are not, as you have put it in your language, haves and have-nots,
mm-hmm.
when there is simply a beautiful planet of have, then there is no issue. That desire to take and control and gain more than your brother, it disappears.
Mm-hmm.
So the short answer to your question is no, you will not have to worry about integrity. But the reason you will not have to worry about integrity is that the shift and the anchoring of the new has already taken place. So it is not that the money flows and then we say now is your opportunity to learn integrity. It is the other way around.
Right. Well, it feels very much like all those things, the grids that keep those things in place have already fallen away. The only power that they have at this point is what we give them because of our memories and our conditioning. So if we could just, release that, then we're free.
That is it exactly. So you are fearful of banks. This is a perfect example because you believe that if you do not behave in ways that are in accordance with their somewhat unspoken desires of greed and control, that they will squash you, that they will rob you of your ability to have a flexible, desirable life. And that is simply not so.
Beautiful. I appreciate that so much. Thank you so much. So are we ready for some callers?
I most certainly am.
Fabulous. Okay, so we have area code 248. Jelena, I believe.
Well, yeah.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello. Hey, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Let's see. Well, I was scratching off all the original questions. Okay. I'll make it a little more personal. I've been looking at a doubt, a very deep seated doubt, in seeing a way to use the opportunity to create a life of being in connection with nature. I should say I live in a very metropolitan area, and I'm looking at, I've been planning and holding the space to be back in nature and to invite others to come back, into a beautiful nature sanctuary and also to heal. And yet I'm also looking at the a plan for the agenda for the 21st century where we want to restore nature and also limit people's access to their private properties, in owning property in nature. And so I was looking to escape from the metro area. But now I'm just looking at the politics and the laws that we live by as becoming more and more restrictive for the humans to be able to go back to nature and help restore it. Does that make any sense that there's a lot of consensus in the media I see building toward we have to save nature, but we also have to remove ourselves from it? And so could you speak to this really core doubt? I know it's personal, but I also know I see it on a larger scale building and building.
Your fear and your doubt are perfect, and they are not just personal, sweet angel. So let us talk first of, as you put it, nature. Do you truly think, feel, or know that Gaia does not have the capacity to restore herself? Because she does. Now, Gaia, the kingdoms, the elementals, the devas, the dogs, the cats, the birds, the lions, the whales, they are already anchored in the higher realms and dimensions. And the restoration is already underway. That has been part of what you have seen as highly irregular weather patterns during the last year or so. But do not doubt nature's ability to reclaim, reconstruct, and do what she needs to do. She is a very sentient and powerful being. Now let us speak to the second part of the question, and there are three parts. The second part is your doubt that humanity can be wise enough to live in harmony with what they cherish and love, that they cannot live in harmony with nature and balance, and that is simply not so. You came to Gaia. Many of you, most of you, as star seeds. Some of you as star beings, completely and fully. Some of you as earth keepers. But you all came not only for the collective experience of restoration of love of the mother's plan, but because you loved Gaia, that you know her. Deep within your soul, you know Gaia and you love her. Her beauty, her mystery, her splendor, her might, her power, her moods, her diversity. Wisdom and grace are the qualities of knowing how to live with Gaia in that balance. Even what you think of as your cities will be transformed. The cities of light are places of spectacular beauty. They are the future being brought to the now. And that alone is miraculous. But it will be harmonious. And this sense that humanity has had since my time as Yeshua of trying to control the environment, of being master of the environment, will simply and is already dissipating. There is a deep knowing within the collective already, whether people admit it or not, that humanity is not in control of this planet. And if anything, their belief of being in control has destroyed and dissipated much of what was loved and valued. Will it be restored? Yes. And can humanity live in that balance and harmony? Yes. Now the third piece is about fear and doubt of living in what you call urban environments. Recognizing that what you think of as urban environments are going to change and change dramatically. But we also encourage you to look at what you value in an urban environment. And my friend, my urban environment meant often, as I have said, meeting by the well and having a chat. Now you go and have coffee in little shops or you share things in community centers. It is the same principle. It is the coming together in community to laugh, to share, to build, and to collectively decide. Politics, as you think of it, is not the enemy. The enemy is the deceit, is the control, is the greed, is the cruelty. Those are the false grids. Politics simply means a coming together of the people to decide how to proceed. what you have thought of as leadership takes on a very different role. But think about what you love about urban environments, of being able to be in community rather than fearful of the human beings, and build on that.
Beautiful. Thank you for coming to your call, Tina.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a great one. Okay, we are on to area code 970. Good morning. Are you with us?
Good morning, dear ones. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Good morning. Yeshi, a question for you, please. Yesterday, I was hired by a principal of a high school, and she said straight out to me, I'd like to offer you a job because you are a compassionate person. I nearly fell on the floor. She said, all your references and a few previous bosses spoke very highly about you and about your compassionate ability, and I will be working with a high school student with severe physical and mental needs. So, and I also at the end of the interview told a story about a baby snake who shows up from time to time to show me how it has grown. And the principal said, this is a way I see that we can further attribute to the well-being and care of this student, because I don't go outside much. I never would have thought about connecting him to nature. So I'm wondering, in terms of false grids, I've been having quite a struggle here, what I think a struggle, and I'm wondering if I dropped some of the false grids away or some other ones were shining through more brightly, because I've also had some financial abundance. Could you please share that with us? It's so good to be in your presence.
You are allowing the truth of who you are. And I have asked you all to step forward. You know this. That is the new you, you know. You are allowing yourself to step forward and to be seen. So many of the light workers, my brothers and sisters, whom I am relying on, have been hidden for reasons, for self-protection. But the doubt is falling away. And you are saying, all right, I am a carrier of love. I am a shower of compassion. I know the innate value of every soul. And there is really no such thing as disability. It is a false grid. It is another dis. So, yes, you are saying, let us proceed together. Good job, dear heart.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So it looks like maybe the entity that I am would remain in this community for a while, even though my desire is great to live in Sedona.
You are being positioned.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Susie. Thank you, Linda.
Farewell.
Thank you, Yeshi, so much. Farewell, dear heart.
Very nice. Okay, so we're on to area code 250. Are you with us?
Hello, this is
Farin. Hi, good morning.
From BC, Canada. I feel so privileged to be in contact with you, Jeshua. My heart is pounding because every time I talk to you, it's as if, well, it is something so wonderful. I could listen to you all day long. So,
do, dear heart.
Thanks. When I was young, I was very fearful. I think this is the reason why I have MS, one of the reasons. Now that I'm 74, it seems that my life is falling into place wonderfully. I feel guided and protected, and I'm very grateful. But my question is about the light. Last time I talked to you, you suggested, you said to fill myself with soft white light. I like that, but even I know you prefer the magenta one. So can you tell me more about this white light, please?
Yes, I would be pleased to. And while I am partial to the magenta, understand that every ray and every variation within the ray has qualities that are literally supreme. But let us talk first about the white light. The white light has the presence of all rays, all colors. That is why so often when they speak of the Mother, Father, One, they refer to the white light. Now, there are times when filling yourself with that bright white light is like putting your finger into an electrical socket. Now, you, sweet angel of love, have issues with your electrical system. That is part of what the MS is about. So I don't want you putting your finger into an electrical socket. So we soften the light to that wonderful, milky, soft white light that still contains all of the rays, all of the colors, and is the essence of one and all. And then we feed it through you. The soft white light is soothing. It is like taking a milk bath rather than being filled with more electricity. Both have their place, as does the magenta, the blue, the emerald, the sapphire. Each ray, you can never go wrong. But the white light gives you everything. And your wisdom, your innate wisdom, your oversoul, your higher self, your physical self, knows exactly how to disseminate and to work with this energy. So that is why I have suggested it. It is the snow on a cloudy day.
Ooh, wow, this is so great. Even if I don't feel anything, you know what?
See yourself as if you are walking out into snow.
Mm.
And it is a cloudy day. It is overcast. Lie down in the snow and play. Make angels in the snow.
Yeah.
That is all you need to do.
Wow. Coming from Ontario, I understand how to do that.
Dear heart.
Thank you. Thank
play
you,
with it. Do not struggle to say, am I doing it right? Is it coming in? Just go and play, and I will be right there in the snow beside you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You
thank you
welcome.
For your call. All right. Okay, so we are on to area code 303. Are you with us? Hello?
Yeah.
Hi,
yeah.
You're on the air.
Hi. So I feel that I have a strong, maybe political spiritual mission this time, and I just wanted to know more about leadership. You mentioned leadership a little bit ago, and I'm curious to know more about what that looks like and how to step out into the world and be seen.
Leadership is stewardship. And yes, I still go back to the example that I have used of being the shepherd. Because sometimes you lead from behind, and sometimes you lead from the front, but it is through the qualities of your being. The time is over. And it was over in my time when you try and tell someone what to do. You have seen, and now I speak to the populace, you have seen this does not work. Leadership is assuming the mantle of responsibility, and you lead by example. Now, there is a misunderstanding that leadership means sacrifice. It is not sacrifice when you are doing what you have come to do. It is not sacrifice when you do what you wish to do and what you intend to do. And what we suggest to you is that humanity, particularly every single person on the planet at this time, is fulfilling a different leadership role. Now, are some in the limelight, in that bright white light? Yes. Are some more subtly leading? Yes. But what it means is not being aggressive, but being very determined and clear about speaking and living and declaring your truth, and to not be fearful of the public arena, because the fear will freeze you. Will there be naysayers at this juncture? Will there be those who want to shroud you in doubt? Yes. But that is their issue, not yours. Leadership in this time and in this occasion is about stepping forward.
Wonderful. Thank you for your call. Okay, we are on to area code 860. Are you with us?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Thank you. It's Helen again. I have a quick question about New Year. Yesterday, I had a very powerful dream, and I think I saw many newborn babies. And one boy suddenly grew bigger, and I can see he probably be my little brother. But I think it's not really true things. But I'm sure it's something related with me or maybe the collective beings. I just want to know what actually this little boy means. And is this ball, can you give me some idea?
It is the birth of the new divine masculine energy upon the planet. And it is your brother, it is your sister, it is your child, it is your grandfather. And it is growing rapidly. Yes, your galactic brothers and sisters have a different way of growing, of gestation, of the entire method of reproduction, but that is not what this was about. The vision is the birth and the growth of the divine masculine. What do I mean by that? It means the ability to be strong, to take action, to protect, to produce, to create, and to work in partnership with the divine feminine. It is not just the birth of the divine feminine. Yes, this is the time of the fulfillment of our mother's dream, promise, and plan. But it would be incomplete without the emergence and the reemergence of that perfection of masculine. So that is what the dream is of.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question.
You are welcome, dear heart.
Okay, we are on to David. Are you there?
Yes, I am here. Thank you. Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Thanks. My question is, today I was actually in very much fear, which is pretty unusual, because I found out that I have a lot of fear about getting a baby from my girlfriend. And I don't know if that's my fear, or I don't know. I have my head is full of thoughts of, you know, getting pushed and everything. That's not so important, the details, but maybe you can, Yashim, you can give me some advice, because probably you know everything.
I know some things, and thank you as you credit me, my brother. And let us talk about the baby. Let us talk about that infant, that innocent, first and foremost, David, and all of you who listen this day and months from now, tend to the baby within. You cannot fully and completely tend to the baby, to a new baby of your heart, until you have taken care of the sweet baby that you are, that you always have been. Not just the child of God, of one, but the infant, the newborn, the one who arrives eager, who has been in and of love, and who has arrived on earth and says, "What happened? Where is the love? Why am I stuck in this body? What is going to happen?" Take care of that. Now, as one who has been a father, I can tell you, you are never completely ready for a baby. And it is foolhardy to think that you are. But is it an adventure? Is it a gift? And is it a soul agreement amongst everybody concerned? Yes. But know that the children that are being born now come with full consciousness. So it is important, as caregivers, as parents, that you are in your wholeness and in the acceptance, the practice of your divinity and your divine self, the fullness of who you are, to tend to these new children. But first, my friend, tend to the baby within. Cherish it. Wrap it within the mother's cloak of blue. Coddle it. Reassure it. And then let it grow. There is a theme this day in the questions, is there not? About babies and children. Whether they are in high school or newborns, it matters not. The children are beckoning, saying, "Please, prepare the world. We are coming."
Thank you, Yessie, so much for joining us.
Farewell.
Shine upon you, oh love, surround you, and the pure light within you, guide.